Homo
Lab.
Homo
Lab.
Okay.
Hey, it's Homo Lab 101.
We're back.
We're just talking about legends in Brighton.
Yes.
Me and Balen vowed never, ever, 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 ever to go there again.
Why? What happened?
Well,
were you kicked out?
No, it was just...
I don't even remember Legends.
Legends was the one with the hotel above. Do you remember?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yes, I do now remember.
Oh, no, you're looking at each other like...
no, nothing happened like that.
Come on, tell me.
No, it's not.
If only... Bring somebody back.
No, we'd definitely go back there again if that were the case.
We've got wiped down walls.
So, yeah, it is Homo Lab 101.
Miss Jason wasn't at Legends. That was the problem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Lucio loves Miss Jason.
I love Miss Jason.
That's Lucio. He loves Miss Jason.
That's Amy.
Yeah.
Who loves Legends.
And that's Balen Leonard, who doesn't love Legends.
No, hello. And, yeah, it's been... Has it been 2 weeks?
It has, because you guys have been away on holiday to Ibiza.
We were in Ibiza. Ibiza.
How was it?
Ibiza.
Yeah, it was good. It took a while for me to get there in terms of liking it, but I liked it in the end. You know, because I'd never been there before, so I had certain ideas of what Ibiza was, and a lot of those ideas
were they confirmed?
Is actually what Ibiza is. But there's also some, you know, it's also pretty. It's also very pretty, Ibiza. And I would return, I think. I would go back again, but I won't go rushing back anytime soon.
Any highlights?
Any highlights? Do you know what the nicest thing was? Just being with Lucio and being away.
I thought you two had reached a new level of coupledom because you're both puffing on the same electronic fag.
So Lucio just forgot his cigarettes.
You must have had some really great bonding sessions as a couple down in Ibiza.
We're quitting smoking for Stoptober.
Yeah,
but not.
October.
I mean, it's not October yet.
No, it's
oh my
smoking.
God, Stoptober, November. What's the thing in January where you stop drinking?
New Year.
No. You know, what is it called?
What's the Fanuary?
Isn't there Fanuary?
What, where you carry around a fan?
No, it's something to do with, like, vaginas.
Really?
Yes.
This is the second episode in a row where we've gotten to a discussion about vaginas.
There's something about Fanuary. I'm just
shouting
that out.
Stop shouting totally made that out.
We should say we're at one of our favorite recording locations. We are on the South Bank in front of Royal Festival Hall, and we're sitting outside.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It might be one of the... And someone's letting their child crawl around on the ground with their teddy bear.
Don't think of the germs.
No, don't think of the germs. It might be one of the last times that we can sit outside and record, do you think?
You're being negative Nancy. It's going to be summer till November.
Yeah.
It's supposed to snow in October.
Where?
I read that in like the Daily Mail.
How do they know that? Hey, have you noticed the badge that I'm wearing today?
I love
hated
your badge.
Hated by the Daily Mail.
Specifically you are hated by the Daily Mail.
Are you jealous?
I am a little bit jealous. Although I don't even think they know who I am, so they probably don't
know.
No,
you're
me.
Gay, they hate you.
Okay, they hate me. I will.
And an immigrant.
Well.
You're a gay immigrant.
Oh my God, I am a gay immigrant.
So
coming here,
reasons.
Taking your jobs and all that sort of stuff. So on this week's Homo Lab, because it's 101, if we had thought properly, we would have come with a list of things that we wanted to put in room 101. But I bet in the mood that we're all in, we can all come up with something that we want to put
it's
in
a gay
room.
Well, I have to say, we're all in a really great, positive mood.
Yes. Oh my gosh, we literally were about an hour before this, we were just whinging about everything in all our lives.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel like a little bit lighter for it, you know. It's always good to unload on
well
friends.
I'm glad you've had a good talk to me, Amy, because that's really, you know, kind of made me think about what I should be saying.
Really?
Yeah.
Just totally went into one.
Yeah, Amy.
Never quite rightly.
Amy lost her shit and went into one, which is always fun when Amy does that. We have, coming up on this episode, I went down to Battersea Arts Centre just last night, and there is a one-on-one storytelling festival going on.
Oh, that's so you, Balen.
It's so totally me. And this year it has a theme of London stories. And I met up with one of the performers who... Not all of the stories that are told are gay or queer or have that bent to it, but some of them do. And I met up with one of the storytellers who has a queer tale to tell. So we're going to hear from her about... not only just about her tale, but about, you know, about the event and what it's like to sit in a candlelit room with a person you don't know and... tell them a story from your life, which I suppose we could all do that, can we?
Oh
just sit
God.
Right down and go
I'd
for
love
it.
To some, I'd love for someone to listen to me right now.
Well, listen, we'll
listen to you, Amy.
Yeah, Homo Lab will listen.
Really?
Amy's currently holding her head in her hands. It looks like you're literally about to cry. What's going on? Is it Friday the 13th? No, that was last week.
I mean, it would be good for our ratings, but don't cry because it'll be really awkward.
Yeah, let's move on.
Maybe we could start with something you want to put in room 101, Amy.
Like gay things.
You saw somebody on the tube that... Did you want to put them in room 101 or just what they were wearing?
Well, I'd like to put this person in room 101 and he has to be wearing something very specific. I walked past this guy and he must have been about, I don't know, maybe 15, 16 years old. And he was wearing a t-shirt that said, I think he's gay, with like an arrow pointing to the left. Like, okay. So that it's meant to be about... the person that you're stood next to.
Kind of like the old I'm with stupid t-shirts.
Yeah. And I just thought, that is so wrong, but it's also really weird because it's obviously saying that that arrow should be pointing right straight up to your face, because the only people that wear those kinds of things are trying to deflect homosexualist attention away from themselves onto someone else, right?
Yes,
so
that's true.
So I would say he's gay. He's wearing a t-shirt that's saying everyone else is gay. But it's just naff. And it's like, it's also like...
So you're putting him in or the t-shirt?
I think both.
Put them both. How do you feel about those t-shirts that like some gay men wear, or straight men, that say, nobody knows I'm a lesbian? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
It's very 80s chic.
Yeah.
You quite like that, I can tell.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so we're not
putting
those in there.
Can I put Jeremy Joseph, and therefore by default, GAY Latte and GAY Bar.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is controversial.
Wow.
Okay.
Does his little tiny lap dog go in as well?
Oh, God, yes.
Why are you putting it? Because he does a lot of good things for the gay community.
He does a lot of good things for
Jeremy
Joseph.
He raises a lot of money for AIDS. He raises a lot of money for AIDS. And
surely if you put Jeremy Joseph in, you have to put Kylie Minogue in as well.
Well, yeah, I'd quite happily put Kylie in, and Danny, and everybody that plays a GAY on a Saturday night, quite frankly.
Wow, it's all coming out now.
That is controversial.
I know it's controversial, but you know.
No, I mean, I fully support you, but I never knew you felt so strongly about
you
GAY.
You two and your hot button issues.
Just, you know what, right? Me and Jeremy have, like, there's an issue, something that happened in the past...
Uh-oh.
And it's a work-related thing.
Uh-oh.
And,
are you sure it's work-related?
I'd rather be straight.
I guess we're never getting Jeremy Joseph on here as a guest, are we?
So there we go.
Add him to the list of people that we're never having on Homo Lab.
Yeah.
Did you? Oh, I'm going to put in...
it's about Madonna as well. While we find
oh,
out.
Can you tell us? No.
Well, basically, like when I was working at a certain number one rated radio station and Madonna was playing at GAY, we wanted to do a competition with them. And he said no. So what we did was contacted the record company, got a whole load of tickets and gave them away anyway. But it could have like all been with GAY and we could have said GAY on Capitol and it could have been a really big thing. But no, it's just...
Why? Because he's greedy.
Yeah, I don't know. He was just like being Jeremy Joseph. Mm. I'm the biggest queen. I can't have any other homosexual bigger than me.
Wow, okay.
It all comes out now.
I'm going to put into room 101 gay guys that say they're straight acting non-scene. Because I think it's bullshit. I think it's just bullshit. People, you know, either... even knowing the phrase straight acting non-scene means you're a big old fag.
Yeah, it really does. It's like the equivalent of that.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's gay.
It's so fucking stupid. And you know what? Most of the people who say they're straight acting non-scene are the biggest queens twirling around to Kylie on a Saturday night.
At GAY.
Yeah.
In a... he's gay t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. So straight acting non-scene, fuck right off. There, that's our mood.
We really set the world not very much right.
Hey,
we're taking out all of our frustration on you, this
Homolab 101. Yes, but you know what you can do? You can take your frustration out on us as well. You can tweet us, we're at Homolab. You can email us, hello@Homolab. We'd love to know what you would put gay-wise, or lesbian-wise, or queer-wise, or all of that sort of stuff. In room 101.
Feel free to say Homo Lab.
Yeah, you can pop us in room 101.
It's inevitable, especially this episode.
We know our place. We know our place. I mean, what were you doing the whole time that we were in Ibiza living it up? Weird gay scene, by the way, in Ibiza. We can talk about that in a moment. But what were you up to? Is it even? Can you even remember, go there, want to forget about it? Is it too long ago? Too much happened?
Quite a lot happened. I was in Margate for a couple of days.
Yeah. Oh, I love Margate.
Which is great. Yeah, Margate is brilliant.
Home of Tracy Emin, who's now doing M&S ads, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
So
I was in Margate.
Scotty's tweet. Sorry to interrupt. Scotty's tweet yesterday was amazing.
I didn't read it.
2013, the year Tracy Emin advertised M&S.
I love Tracy Emin. She can do no wrong in my book. Yeah. So where are your M&S, Tracy?
Swiftly moving on.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know, just on, in terms of the gay scene in Ibiza, it's really, really weird, Amy, because it's all on one little street, you know, which is fine and dandy, but and then all of the clubs, like the big super clubs, have big parades up and down the street holding signs for their clubs with like a bunch of people barely dressed, some who make a real effort for a costume, some who make no effort for a costume, but all of them barely able to stand.
The thing is,
sounds very appealing. Can I have some of your chewing?
Yeah, go for it. It's really minty, that one.
That's a good thing for gum, right?
it's really mixed, Ibiza. It's like post-gay, isn't it? So like the big super clubs are like everybody loving each other, and it doesn't matter whether you're gay or straight, or go in gay or straight and come out bi and whatever. It's just, you know,
now here's
goes.
The thing, right? Now this might be contentious for people, but if you're going to do a big old gay holiday in Spain, I much prefer Sitges to Ibiza, because Sitges is, I think, prettier. It's certainly easier to get around. I think it's a bit friendlier. It's a bit flirtier. And Ibiza, and it could just be because we were there at the very end of the season, but it all just felt a bit desperate, really, Ibiza.
I thought you had fun.
No, I did. I did have fun.
You enjoyed our holiday.
I did very much enjoy our holiday, but I'm talking about it as a destination itself.
Because everyone in Ibiza is on drugs and everyone in Sitges is just drinking?
There's a bit of drug culture in Sitges as well.
It's quite druggy in Ibiza.
But Ibiza is
and
a
it's the
drug
super
culture.
Clubs, and we didn't really do the clubs. That's because we missed out because we didn't go to the big clubs. And the idea is that, you know, you save all your money and get a new credit card and go and spend however many thousands of pounds by going to whatever club night every single night to go and see the latest superstar DJs. And we didn't really do that.
We didn't do that, to be fair.
You know.
And I think maybe that's why we had fun.
Yeah.
Well, let us know about that if you have an opinion. Or maybe you just want to put Sitges and Ibiza in room 101. You can email us hello@humalab.com.
Has anybody read their star signs today? Is there like, I don't know. What's the moon? Was it a full moon yesterday?
It was a harvest moon a couple of nights ago.
Okay, yeah, so
it looked,
is,
I was coming home last night and
what does that mean?
It looked kind of full.
Is it National Depression Week? I know that's meant to be like the second week of February or something.
Maybe
like
it's
that.
Just National Depression Week at this table. We're sorry. If you're depressed, we're sorry we're bringing you down.
And if you were happy before you started listening to this podcast and aren't now, we're sorry.
Yeah. But, shall we have some news?
Yeah, let's
maybe
have some news.
Maybe we can be like Radiohead. You know when you listen to Radiohead or the Smiths, you start really depressed and you think, I'm going to put on Radiohead or the Smiths, because you realise that you're not quite as depressed as they are.
So yeah, if we serve no other purpose, it's for you to know that your life is nowhere near as bad as ours this week.
Yeah.
Now it's time for some news from our friends at Grey Star News.
Ho-mo.
Lab.
Ho-mo.
Lab.
I keep seeing my reflection in that mirror, which is horrifying because I feel like I look about 55 years old.
You totally keep that in.
I feel like
you
I'm
do kind of look like you.
Don't say that. You're not meant to say that to your life partner.
It's a weird, awkward hair.
Well, we're doing things that you should be happy about that people are actually depressed about. Like, we should all be happy around this table. We're actually all quite depressed at the moment. So we've got a news story which goes with this.
Sorry, they're rearranging their chairs over there.
Always. We have something, we have magical abilities to make people rearrange their chairs.
So there has been a new law which has been passed in Italy to penalise homophobia and transphobia. That should be a cause of celebration, surely. No. Italian LGBT groups are saying that it's a hypocritical law because the bill gives protections to opinions expressed within political, cultural, or religious organizations, allowing groups to continue making homophobic comments.
Oh.
That's weird. Yeah. How have they managed to turn that law around for it to be like...
Because it would have been a compromise, because everything in Italy is a compromise.
Is this the same law that a few weeks ago we talked about and actually the Italian LGBT community had a problem with?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the same one.
It's the same
one. Right, okay. Mm.
So basically, a political party can be really homophobic and say they're being political. Mm. I think what it means is you can't walk down the street and harass someone.
Right, okay.
But, you know, as long as you say you're from a religious organisation or a political party or making a cultural point, then it's
all
right.
Then it's all fine.
So Beppe Grillo, who's the head of the Five Star Movement, that's the comedian, if you remember the last election, if you follow Italian politics, that, you know, is a kind of anti-political vote. Members of the Five Star Movement, they held a same-sex kiss-in outside Parliament where they locked lips. And they said, a kiss and a hug should not be frightening, and we are not afraid.
Hmm. Well, Berlusconi's in the news this week as well, isn't he?
Yeah, with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. Didn't he say something like Berlusconi's being persecuted for being heterosexual? Yes. in the Bunga Bunga
yeah,
child?
Yeah, he said if the Bunga Bunga stuff had all been gay, then Berlusconi would have been all right.
Yeah. He's so persecuted, Berlusconi. I feel sorry for him
as well. Maybe yeah. we could set up a Just Giving page or something.
Yeah. On to me?
On to you, Amy LeMay.
Right. News that an anti-gay pundit has claimed that Hillary Clinton could be America's first lesbian president.
Ooh.
Could it be true? What? Brian Fisher of the Anti-Gay American Family Association made these claims on a video released on their organization's website. Now, he asserts that Clinton may be having a lesbian affair with her transition office chief, Huma Abedin, who is the wife of the disgraced ex-congressman Anthony Weiner.
Okay.
Oh, God, okay.
So he says in this film, so the bottom line is that if Hillary Clinton becomes president in 2016, she will not only be our first female president, she could be our first lesbian president.
Aww.
Bring it on.
Hillary 2016.
Yeah, so he knows, so he says that, this guy's known for his homophobic
yeah.
views, okay? So he's not saying this in a hurrah kind of way. It's saying, danger, danger,
lesbian.
Danger ahead, lesbians, yeah. lesbians ahead in 2016.
that should be your campaign slogan.
Yeah. Jennifer Flowers, you may remember that name because
oh, yes.
she was Bill Clinton's mistress for 12 years. Now, she claimed that she was told that Hillary Clinton was bisexual.
Right.
And that Bill told her this and that it was kind of, he was okay with it and it was common knowledge.
I'm sure he's okay with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. People have debated, discussed Hillary's sexuality for a long time. You know, I don't know why. I think it's just because, like,
misogyny.
You know, misogyny.
She's a woman.
She's a woman. She's a strong woman. She wears power suits.
Headbands.
You know, because she looks like she should be fucking ruling the world, which is, of course, why everyone thinks she's a lesbian. And also because, they're saying in this Gay Star News article that her support for same-sex marriage, which she came out very much in favor of earlier this year in March. But, you know, loads of people support same-sex marriage and equal marriage. It doesn't make you gay, right?
Yeah. Including your governor from your old state, Chris Christie. He's very pro-gay marriage, isn't
no,
he?
No, he's not.
He is.
Since when?
Is
no,
he?
He's not. No.
No, I think he was. I thought he was going against the party and saying
no, well,
it's not
no,
his
he's,
business
he's,
either way.
He was in favor of civil partnerships but against marriage.
Yeah,
oh,
and,
okay.
And also he wanted to have a referendum, so they're saying that New Jersey might be the first state to, like, I don't know.
Well, Minneapolis was the first. But
oh,
yeah.
yeah.
But I think probably he is in favour of gay marriage, but he's not publicly, but he wants a referendum, so that way he takes it out of his hands.
Right, okay.
Great, so one day I'll be able to move back to New Jersey and get gay married.
Oh,
really?
Oh,
that's like everything that I've ever wanted in my life.
All your dreams
you
coming
true. Marry Chris Christie.
You could be the First Lady of New Jersey.
Yeah, imagine that. From Camden to New Jersey.
There's a Camden, New Jersey as
only
well.
Only if you marry Jeremy Joseph, then I'll marry Chris Christie.
Who do I get to marry? Who's disgusting do I get to marry?
Well, tell us the story and then we'll tell you.
Okay, I might. I don't think I can marry this guy, but Pope Francis.
Okay, no, you can't marry Pope Francis. He's all right.
Yeah, yeah. Pope Francis, as we know and as we've discussed many times on Homolab, he is kind of softly changing the Catholic Church. And you two were right on board from the day
I'm
one,
telling
I have
you,
to
it
say.
It started here.
It did start,
Lucia,
yeah,
it?
I mean, you can read the article.
Yeah, so you may remember that about a month ago or something, he was on a plane coming back to Rome from South America. And he said that, he was asked a question about gays in the church. And he responded with, who am I to judge as long as they have, you know, a kind heart and a blah, 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 and that kind of set the world alight. Well, he's expanded on that now because he's just done an extensive 12,000-word interview that is being published in several different newspapers around the globe. And he talked about his favorite composers. He says that he prays when he goes to the dentist. And he also reveals his personal view of how he wishes the church would address its moral conflicts with homosexuality and abortion. He says that the church sometimes has locked itself up into small things and small-minded rules. He says it's not necessary to talk about these issues all the time. We have to find a new balance. He says that once he was asked in a very provocative manner if he approved of homosexuality, and he replied with another question. He said, tell me, when God looks at a gay person, does he endorse the existence of this person with love or reject and condemn this person? We must always consider the person. And he also went on to say that because there was some confusion over the comments that he made on the airplane going back to Rome about whether he was just talking about gays in the church or whether he was talking about gays in general. And he expanded on that and he said he's talking about people. He's just talking about people. So, yeah, he's saying basically, Catholic Church, we need to move on from getting hung up about abortion and gays. That's a good thing.
So basically, he's been listening to Homolab.
He has.
He's heard what Lucio and I think, and he's taken our comments on board.
Yeah, so we're liking Pope Francis more and more, really.
We need to get a Pope Francis fridge magnet to replace Ratzinger.
We do. Do you know what, Amy? I have my mom, who's not remotely Catholic at all.
She
loves a fridge magnet. But she has sent me not only, like, she sent me a Pope John Paul II.
Is that in the bargain bin?
Paperweight. A paperweight. This was when he was still Pope.
Oh, right, okay.
And then she sent me a Benedict magnet. So, yeah, I can only imagine that some sort of office accessory with Pope Francis on it is on its way. That is the news from our friends at Gay Star News. If you have any comments on that, let us know. We're at Homolab.
There was an article in The Onion, things we were doing religious things right now. I might want to share this with you. The Onion, the famous satirical New York paper, which is now mainly online. Hell now has a thriving gay culture, says the article. The Great Abyss, home of the damned, is reportedly inhabited by some 600 million condemned homosexual or transgender souls, a large proportion of its total population. And by many accounts, it has blossomed into an oasis of gay activism and community events.
Well, you know.
Wow.
We've always said it'll be a party in hell.
Yeah. Hey, can I thank all of our new Twitter followers? Yeah. Yeah? We've got Paul Varjak. We've got Agender, S-O-A-S, Adrian Ruth, Rupert Smith. Hello, Rupert. We've got Buzzblocks, Kennington Up, Miss Dusty O is following us. Gay Pride UK. We've got John Warrow. We've got Emma Hammond, Anzo, Will Scobie, M. Skeena. Live Blood UK, My Block Tyler, Roadside Tune, Senior Harding, Mike Oldcars, and loads more. So thanks everybody for following us on Twitter. We are at Homolab.
Yeah, now you mentioned there, Amy, that Paula Varjak is following us. Yes. And she is actually the person that I spoke to at Battersea Arts Centre last night.
Oh, right. Oh.
So, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I love Battersea Arts Centre. There's always loads of stuff going on there. Last night, I went to see London Stories. As I said, it was a storytelling festival. And before I went through, I sat down with one of the performers in the bar there. And we talked about it.
Homo
Lab.
Homo
Lab.
So I'm in the cafe at Battersea Arts Centre, the esteemed Battersea Arts Centre, where millions of things happen each and every day, it seems. And I'm getting ready to go into the one-on-one festival, which this year has a theme called London Stories. And I'm sat with one of the performers. Her name is Paula. Do you just want to introduce yourself? Because I only know you as Paula, and I'm sure you have a second name.
My surname is Varjak. So I'm Paula Varjak.
Okay.
And I'm one of the 30 storytellers in London Stories.
Are there 30?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's all about storytelling, this one-on-one festival. So without giving too much away, can you tell us what your story is called and what it's about a little bit? Don't ruin it for me, though, because I might be coming to your room.
Yeah, it's really hard to talk about it without giving it away, but it's about a kind of habit or addiction that I had, which makes it sound much, much worse and dodgier than it really is, that I don't have anymore because of an encounter with a person.
Okay, well, this is sounding good already. This is sounding good to me. This one-on-one thing, as a performer, is it more relaxing to do it one-on-one? Is it more stressful? Do you get a bit freaked out? Is there a bit of a personal space issue? Or is the story that you're telling only able to be told, really, one-on-one?
Well, I am a performer myself, which is a rarity in the festival. I think there's only a handful of us. Most of us are actually not performers or have never done any kind of public speaking or theater until this event, and they've only had 3 workshops. I think there might be 3 or 4 of us who are performers. And I have to say, for me as a performer, it's really interesting because it isn't performing, but it isn't the same as sitting across a table with a friend in a bar. It's some strange netherworld in between. And I actually really love it because the audience has more more agency in the situation, because obviously if there's only three of you in a room and it's a small, dark, candlelit room and the audience is checked out in some way or they're not engaged, then it doesn't work. So it kind of demands all of you to be completely committed to this moment.
So it's like, not only are you kind of invested in it, but the audience has to be invested in it.
Absolutely.
For it to work as well.
Yeah, no, they are equal partners.
Is there something quite, because as we know, I mean, performers, a lot of times work through their problems through art and stuff like that. And I would imagine that in something like this, where it's one-on-one and it's so intimate, is there a degree of kind of working through your ya-yas in this?
I don't think so, but I'm someone who likes sharing, definitely. I'm definitely an open person. But this isn't a story that I think hardly any of my friends know, so... There is something really cathartic about talking to strangers.
Yes.
Generally, I think.
I agree.
And you get to have these intimate encounters talking to, with 12 sessions of strangers every night for 2 weeks, and that's pretty unique.
Is this a new thing, kind of? I know that Battersea Arts Centre has been doing a one-on-one festival for 2, if not 3 years, maybe even longer, I'm not sure. But is it a new thing in terms of performance, doing performance this way?
Well, the thing is, I'm not sure they would call it performance, actually, because I think they're very keen on the fact that the majority, in fact, nearly all of the storytellers are not performers. So that's the thing, and there's also this question of whether it's theater or not for that reason.
Do you think it's theater?
I think it's theater, but I have a very expansive idea of what theater is. I think it's theater because it's a constructed idea where people are... it's decided beforehand that these encounters are going to happen. They're not happening by happenstance. So for me, that makes it a theatrical event. But it's not theater in the sense of there isn't a script that's been written that everyone is going to play their part in the same way. And people are just telling their own stories as well. They're not characters.
Well, that is an interesting thing of people telling their own stories, because everybody says that everybody has a story to tell. And I suppose this is one place, which is quite an esteemed arts organization, where you can actually come and just tell your own story.
Mm.
And it's interesting the way that they're doing it as well, because I've been given a timetable and a route to follow, and I have a friend who's coming to join me, and I've been given one for her that's completely different than my one. So this is the type of thing that you could come to, I suppose, up to 4 times, so there are 4 different routes, and
yes,
have completely different stories happen,
yes,
each and every time. And for you, why, I'm sure you must have many stories that you could tell. Why did you pick this particular story that you're going to tell tonight?
I'm interested in this idea that we project things onto people, and we have impressions of people, especially if we're attracted to them or if we love them. Often we see what we want to see. And it's interesting how our relationship changes when we're forced to realize what that person is rather than what we project. Because it's a queer story and because I look really femme, I'm bisexual, I think there's something very interesting about me telling the story in this context, and I can definitely say to you after even just the first few nights that as soon as I sort of start, it becomes clear that this is a queer story, it throws a lot of people off. And it's really interesting because it's the kind of setting where no one is going to say, oh, what do you mean? What are you talking about? But I can tell.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. I think that's interesting. I think that breaks a boundary.
Does your perception of who you're telling the story to change the way that you tell it, if that makes sense? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you have a really straight guy, or what you perceive, I mean, obviously, you can never tell, and as you said, most people probably wouldn't assume that you're bisexual, but still, those things creep in, don't they? So you can look at someone and assume one thing about them and be completely surprised. So if you have somebody sitting down in front of you that in real life you would probably never reveal these things to, is there something in your head that knows that and thinks I'm going to go about this in a different way somehow?
I don't know. I don't think so, because I sort of say everything to everybody. I think that's important in a way. I think it's important not to censor yourself, because otherwise nothing changes. So in a weird way, it's the same as I don't know, if you're in the situation where, you know, I was in a really serious relationship with a woman for 4 years, and often when I'd go into situations where people didn't know, and I'd say my girlfriend, sometimes I could tell there was a little mental stutter. And it's exactly the same as that. And my attitude has always been, of course you're aware of it, but you ignore it and you push on, because that's what straight people do. And, you know, we have a right to do that too. Do you know what I mean? It
of
should
course.
Be incidental.
Ho-mo.
Loud.
Homo.
So that's Paula Varjak there. I had a really great time, actually.
It sounds lovely.
You basically, it might not have been too clear in that interview, but you get a route map when you arrive. So I went with someone else, and we each got a different one. There's 30 performers that are doing this. And I think you see six of them at a time. So in order to see them all, you kind of have to go back a few times. I didn't actually, Paula wasn't on my map, so I didn't get to actually hear her story. But there was a lovely story on my one from a guy who had, whose first love when he was in school was with a very pretty athletic blonde boy, and how that went. So if you want more information on that, you want to get down to Battersea Arts Centre, you can go to bac.org.uk. The festival is on until the 28th of September.
Hey, I want to tell you guys and all of our homolabbers about a new DJing night got going on.
Oh, yeah. Go on. Yeah,
You know the new Bloomsbury set.
Mm. Yes, we've recorded there once.
In the caves.
On Marchmont Street, corner of Marchmont Street and Tavistock Street.
Yeah, we got drunk in a cave there once.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did get drunk in a cave there once. So anyway, I'm DJing on Thursday, the 26th of September.
Oh, yeah.
From 8:30 to 11:30. And it's a new night, and if it goes well, it might turn into something a bit more regular. But it's got a name, I've got a concept, I've got a name,
okay.
and everything.
You're not just DJing, it's a whole new night.
Yeah, it's so, called Tweed.
Okay,
do I have to wear dress? A tweed?
If you want to wear a tweed, it would be helpful. Right. But I thought, you know, it's a bit masculine, it's a bit feminine. It's a bit autumnal.
Yes.
Well, we love a Harris tweed, don't we?
We love a Harris tweed. And and that's a really great, it's great, that bar, because it feels a bit more adult, like in a mature way, I mean. And not in an old way. In like a, you know, it's not a GAY type of, it's not a Soho type bar.
Also, they have an over 21s policy there.
There you go, that's
so
what
you
I mean.
Don't get the tweenies coming in for Alka-Pops. It's more like, let's sit down and have a bottle of wine and a conversation. Or, you know, it's a bit more like, not clubby, but a bit dancey, like on a Friday or Saturday.
And they
night,
they make a really good, you know what I really like about that, other than the fact that it's quite a good atmosphere in there, is that it's one of the few gay places on the scene in London where you can actually get a really quality cocktail, and the bartenders know how to make cocktails, and don't have to refer to a guide when you ask for something more than a lager.
Yeah, I have to say, their bar staff are really, really nice there.
And they're sexy.
They are sexy, cool.
Talking of your new night, Tweed, which starts next Thursday, 26th. Well, just a couple of weeks after that, there's a certain club night which is returning on the 11th of September.
What's that?
Speedwagon.
You're joking.
Is back for one night only.
London's only gay rock night is back at the RVT on the 11th of October. Yeah, it's it's super fun to do, and it's been a good year. And a half, maybe, since we did one. And people kind of been asking about it. So we were like, well, why not? Let's do it. So,
good for you.
So, look at us all.
I'll get my iHeart Rock bandana.
Yeah, you do that.
Exactly. And while we're promoting things, you know, if you're gay and you like country music, you can check out my new country music show on Amazing Radio.
Okay, fine. Saturday nights at 6.
Hey, listen, I'm in a better mood already hanging out
next
with you.
Next week, I know the sun's finally come out as well. Next week, we're going to be recording episode 102. From the BBC gay staff group.
Yeah, it's a pride group within the BBC that we've been asked as Homolab co-creators and presenters to give a special speech. Is it a speech?
To tell them why gay podcasts are the future and is killing off BBC Radio.
Yeah, maybe we won't say that during the actual speech, but we might.
We'll have a little, what do you call it, where you work out the line, where we work out
a
what
briefing.
We're actually going to say. We'll have a little briefing beforehand.
Yeah, so we're going to be recording from there.
Basically, that's Lucio putting Amy in a muzzle, right?
Yeah. Do not say this, do not say that, and do not say the next thing. But you can say this.
Well, listen, we're going to go and, you know, fix our attitudes. And we hope that you have a great weekend. And we will be back with you for Homolab next week.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Cheers. We've been the Queers in Your Ears. Bye.
Homo
Lab. Homo
Lab.